Let me read this morning's scripture for us. It comes up on the screen right now. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. I think you might know some of this, but maybe not, but I want you to see it this morning. Read it with me. Got your Bible out, get your phone out, whatever you need. It's also on the screen. Let me read the morning scripture for us from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, by the way, let me say this. I would love to have the guts to preach that one word for the next 8 weeks at this church. Now, I know I'd only be left with like two of you at the end of the 8 weeks, but I would like to just preach on that word, and I'll come back to it in a minute because you need to see how fantastic that word is. Meanwhile, back to the scripture reading. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I found myself just a couple days ago, and there's only a few of you in here that are going to get this, but when my wife goes out and is gone for a long period of time, say in the evening, and I'm the one that's home, it's usually the other way around, but when that happens, you will not believe what I put on the TV. I know a lot of you think you know what goes on the TV, but you will not believe what I put on the TV when she's not home. And it's this. Now you're waiting for either a confession or a self-revelation of some kind, but here it is. I put on the food channels. I like to watch the cooking shows. I know there's one person here that gets that. I get a kick. I'm learning techniques. I'm learning ingredients. I'm learning spicing. I'm learning stuff that I don't know, and I love watching. And my wife will come and go, there you are again, watching the food channel. Yeah, I like to do that recreationally. But I got to say this. As I was watching the food channel about a week or two ago, it popped into my mind that I needed something that they were using that I don't have, and it only costs like $6, $7. So I went online to not just price one, but to read about it and to read the description and see if it was any good, because I really want this thing to use in my kitchen. And you know what I did? Just like you do. I found the item I wanted, and it was all good what the company said about it for $6.49. But then, and I'm just like this, I got to make sure. And then I went through and saw there were over 500 reviews. And so lo and behold, I got into the reviews and started reading them. I'm thinking, you know what, they all can't be fake. And lo and behold, one person after another is saying, it's the greatest thing. It can be dishwashed. It can be microwaved. It can be your best friend. And I'm thinking, this is great. That's what I need. And so lo and behold, after I read the reviews to see how it works, to see how reliable it was, I pushed the button and I bought it. Isn't that cool? Have you had that experience? Yeah, you have. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times over, and you will have it again. What if I told you this? What if I told you that you can do the same thing in the area of your walk with God? In your walk with Jesus Christ, what if I told you you could read the reviews? What if I told you there's a whole bunch of reviews out there, but you've never realized it and paid attention to it? And the reality is, our walk with the living God of the universe has been reviewed over and over and over again. And it's all found right here about those who've tried the product and how it worked out. And it's found in verse 1, right here, our first point, if you've got your outline, a reminder of their faith. And it's found in the Word, and here's the next 12 weeks of sermons at the church. It's found in the word, therefore. You want to have a little fun with this? Let's do this, okay? Everybody put your pen down, or just look up here. I want you to get this. I am usually very honest about myself, especially physically or mentally. No comments yet, please, but we're getting there, all right? I know that within this athletic young frame of 5'11 or so, no comments yet, okay? But I know within this frame is a guy that just, listen, honestly desires, and I think it's going to happen this fall. I don't know how to break it to you, but the NBA has asked me to try out for them again. I've been holding them at arm's length. And the reality is they really want me. They've seen my skills. They've seen the big mitts that I have and my athleticism, my workout prowess, my diet. And they just want that in the NBA to be their new image of the healthy athlete. I'm very excited about it. Now, I don't know who's giggling. That's not a giggle, okay? That could happen. Don't you go to Disney if you dream it, it'll happen? I'm dreaming it, okay? But here we go. Now, let's do this in a controlled manner. Let's do this by I will pick you. You put your hand up. No comments. Okay? I want you to make some honest assessments as to why I will not be able to go ever into the NBA, but especially this fall. Raise your hand if you have something to say. And I will call on... That went up really quick. Okay. Aren't you going to think about it for a bit, Ann? Just a minute? Okay, Ann, you're up first.
You might be a little old.
Okay, might be a little old. Gently said, thank you, that little old. Dennis, two hands up?
Yeah, well, how many times do I have to look?
No, you've just got this little, whatever. Come on, why am I not making the NBA?
5 feet.
Okay. 5 feet what? Okay, good. Glenn? Okay, they need more people with more hair. This is self-deprecating good. Okay, here's your chance.
They need water boys.
They need water boys. Thank you. Jim?
They already have the advertising campaign,
Be
Like Mike.
Okay, they do have the advertising campaign, Be Like Mike. Dennis, again?
The jerseys they have up there, if you put it on, it would be
great. Okay. So it's ludicrous for me to think, hold it, you know what you're telling me right now, Mike? In light of, and you didn't do half of them, because you don't have the courage to do it on Mike. No, I don't want you doing it now, okay? But if you lined up the facts, watch this. If you lined up the facts, Mike, your height, your age, your athleticism, your and just add the list, okay? All the way through, here's your whole list of things why Mike can't be in the NBA, would never be in the NBA unless he buys a ticket and sits in a seat, okay? Mike, you're just not going to do it. Hey, Mike, you can't dunk a basketball. Hey, Mike, you can't play with those guys. Therefore, in light of what we just said, therefore, you're not going to be NBA based on all these facts. The word therefore means this, okay? It's like when you're breaking up with somebody and you don't want to hurt them too bad. I really care about you and I really like your mom and I like your house and I like your car, but it's just not right for us. Therefore, I'm going to have to break up with you. You see, it's the dossier of facts that just went before. Mike, you're not tall enough, you're not athletic enough, you're not the right age, you don't live in the right... You get the idea? Based on all of that, therefore the conclusion being this, you're not going to be in the NBA. And if you understand the word therefore, which means this, in light of what I previously told you, in light of that as a factual base, now I'm going to tell you something really exciting. And that word therefore goes back to the previous chapter, chapter 11. Well, what's in chapter 11? It's an incredible list of people who stepped up for God, lived out for God. It goes through all the greats of the Old Testament, including the non-greats when it just says the people. And in each case it says this, by faith they did this. By faith they experienced this. By faith, and it's building this case. That leads up to the key word of, therefore, I'm going to tell you something really unique and exciting right now. In fact, can we stop this for just a minute? Not the tape. Can I go take a right rudder for just a moment, for just a little bit of fun? As I'm studying chapter 11, which I'm not going to speak on for the next 12 weeks, which I should, I look at, and it's not in your notes, it's not on the board, sorry. But in verse 13 of chapter 11, verse 13 of chapter 11 in Hebrews is the answer for the jokers and the jerks and the dopes that are on our TV screens this morning telling us that Jesus wants us to do nothing but be wealthy and be happy and never die. And by the way, all the leaders of this movement always die, which makes me laugh because it goes against what they preach. But you can't be sick, you can't be this, if you believe in Jesus, the health and wealth gospel, which is ungodly and from the pit of hell. And you know what? There's one verse these idiots need to know as they put out this poison into the Christian community. And it's Hebrews 11:13. And I'll get back to the sermon in a minute. This is the commercial. Listen to this. Talking about the biggies of the faith who saw God, lived for God, etc. Watch this. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. Really? I mean, I'm not pulling the tractor trailer up to the back of God's factory and He's filling up all the stuff I want and then even stuff I didn't even want He gives to me because He just keeps blessing me with all this stuff and life is so peaceful and wonderful. No. Most of these people, you'll see, they died a horrible death. But all these people died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. They never got there. And having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. This is a whole other sermon. But the idea that even they in the Old Testament thought themselves as strangers and not attached to this earth because they belonged to God. And then we get to the New Testament and we're called the exact same thing as people who don't have a residency here. Our citizenship is where? In heaven with Jesus Christ forever. The reality is this life is going to hurt. And there's going to be folks like Bob and Karen and Amy that have to face one of the most difficult things in their life today. And things like that happen. And there is death around me, and there is sickness around me, and there's my own shortcomings around me, and people let me down. And the list goes on, and life hurts. Look, they saw the promises from God from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on this earth, they went about representing Him, realizing that it's not the time to have those things until they're in the presence of Jesus Christ. In this, and here it is, you can put it in your notes, in this short time that you have left. There you go. Okay, back to the sermon. So, I read this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and it says this, that I'm surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. You let that go by without saying anything? I go like this, what? Are you kidding me? What do you mean a cloud of witnesses? Hold it. People are watching? I mean, hold it. I'm sitting in my house watching the Food Channel, and there's people around me watching, and I don't see them? You're starting to scare me a little bit. What's going on here? Well, it's talking about these people in chapter 11, the biggies of the faith and not the ones even mentioned, who lived their life by following God, and they are witnesses to the fact, have tried out the product, and it works, and here's the reviews. The reviews are, it's worth doing. In fact, these folks, because of the way they lived, encourage me to live the life that I've got right now in Jesus Christ. You want to see a three-pronged thing that I think is vital? Watch this. Everybody look. Here we go. I run a marathon. You're running a marathon. You know how you feel, so this is going to be really tough. And you're at mile 22 of 26, and you're dying. It's a hot day. You're sweating. You're just absolutely aching everywhere. Joints, muscles, things you didn't know you had are now hurting. And you're running, and when you get to the last couple miles, as it always is in a marathon, there are people lined up down the left and right side of the road, and they're screaming and cheering for you. And when you get to that point, and they start cheering and screaming, you feel a little bit more empowered, and encourages you to finish. Do you got that picture? Let me ramp this up a little better, okay? Let's intensify this just a little bit. Come with me to this one. You're running that same race, and you get to mile 22, you got 3 or 4 miles left, and you're dying, and your legs are hurting, your joints are hurting, and things are hurting you didn't know you had. And here you are, and you're not even sure you're going to make it. And then, along the side of the road, are all these people, and they're screaming for you, and they're cheering you on. And now let me tell you another secret. All of those people cheering you on are past winners of marathons and triathlons. And they are the ones who've done this before, and in some cases many times, and they are cheering you on in your race. Isn't that pretty cool? Let me go a little further. You're running the race for Jesus Christ in this life, and you know what? You've been doing it for a lot of years, and you're tired. And things are aching, and things are hurting like they never have before. And you know what? You're not sure you're going to make it to the end. It is so difficult to hold on. It is so difficult to truly believe all the time because of all the stuff that has happened to you. And as you're running toward the last few miles, you've got people on both sides of the road, and they're cheering you on, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now listen to this. Those people and those witnesses are the people types from chapter 11, the biggies of the faith who have stood and lived for God. And I don't want to scare you at all, but as you go through chapter 11, most of these people, well, they're all dead, but most of them died while they were believing in God, and things hadn't happened yet, and a lot of them were tortured, and a lot of them were killed. And those people along the side of the road are saying to you, it is worth it. I was there. It can be done. keep going, put your head down and keep plowing. You get it? Three dynamic pictures. You never thought you'd run a marathon before or a big race. You're in it right now for Jesus Christ. And the cloud of witnesses are not just a bunch of grade school kids they bust in to cheer for you. It's the biggies of the faith that are cheering you on in your walk with Jesus Christ to not let up and to stay faithful and keep going and be strong. That's a dynamic picture of being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, encouraging people who've run the race, who've completed the course well, who are saying this, God can be trusted, God is faithful, God meets you where you're at, rely on Him, it is worth it, we're on the other side, keep going, it really is worth it. And you know what, along the way, it may cost you your life. I'm going to be flippant, here it is. So what? So what? You lose your life, you get to be with Him. So what? And that's what they'd say on the other side. In fact, people who talk like this, one of the epitaphs that's up in the Maccabean region was an Alexandrian author who gave this epitaph for Maccabean martyrs. One family in particular, who basically these folks saved Judaism from extinction. If you've ever read the story or seen the movie, it's wonderful. But listen to this. This person wrote this epitaph. Tell me if this isn't tremendous. Now, these people are dead. In fact, they were killed. Listen to this. Here an aged priest and an aged woman and their seven sons lie buried through the violence of a tyrant who wished to destroy the Hebrews. They verily vindicated our nation, keeping their eyes fixed on God and endured torments even unto death. And they were all killed as a family by the invading forces. You see, even after people are gone, they speak to us. The cloud of witnesses speaks to us to encourage us. Listen, if you're having a slow time, I know it's summer. I know things get kind of cattywampus in the summer. Greek term, which means messed up. And when they do, I would just encourage you. Maybe you just need to go back and just take for the next week or two and slowly read through Hebrews chapter 11, the previous chapter, and see what these people endured. See what they did. Then have a little courage, go back and investigate them in the Old Testament and see the different facets of their normal life and see how difficult it was. Let's move on to point number two. You'll notice here that there's also a reminder of our faith. Apparently, the way I run my race matters. And I can say, oh, who really cares? You know, I've got dress shoes on and long pants, but I'll run the race. No, it doesn't work that way. The reality is how I run my race matters. And if it's lived out properly, if I live my race out properly, it's meant to encourage you. And by the way you live and work out your race for Jesus Christ, the course He's got for you, encourages me and has an effect on me. Well, look at this here in the Scripture. It says this in verse 1, that I'm to lay aside every weight. Who would carry weights into a race anyway? Everybody knows that. I'm to put down the stuff that slows me down from my running. And the key part of this is to notice also here in verse 1 that this every weight is sin. And it says here that sin entangles me. Entangles is a hunting term used to when they used a hunting stick to make animals trip, and they couldn't help but do it, even though I had four legs. And here it is, sin entangles me. It also says here that it clings to me so closely, and sometimes sin feels that way. It's on me, and I just can't get it off. And you know what? It encourages me to hear how others are standing firm in the faith. It's the key reason we get here. It's the key reason we get together, to encourage each other. It's the key reason we get together during the week with each other at different times, because it encourages each other to keep on the walk for Jesus Christ. That's what we do. Now, we do that well as a family. We need to continue to keep doing it as we head into our future. And this standing firm is vital for the situation God has placed you in. And it has an effect on me. Third point here, verses 2 and 3, there's a reminder of Jesus that's so important. In fact, as you noticed when you came in, the communion table is set up this morning. Did everybody notice that? Okay, well, the communion table is set up this morning because we value our time. I know some churches throw a communion service at the end of every service. It's a tack on, and you sit there and you go like this. Gee, I forgot we got to do communion. It's another 10 minutes. And it becomes very rote. Let me say this to you. This morning, it won't be that way. You can look at the time if you want, and you can see that we've allowed plenty of time for communion so we can actually focus on Jesus Christ, this third point. So listen very carefully to what we're going to do this morning. We have not done this in quite a while, but we're going to have communion in groups. Now, if you're already at a table, you're kind of already in a group. And so you can either add some people to your table. Some people can go from here and go sit at a table with somebody or move a chair in. Or some of the folks that are here can turn their seats into a group. I'm going to let you take just a couple minutes and figure out what your group is. So if you would do that, please do that right now and get into that smaller group. Group of at least three, could be as many as 5, 6. Because everybody found themselves into a group. It wasn't a detailed physics problem. Should happen pretty quick. Okay, is everybody in a group? Okay, now I don't want to be presumptuous on anyone, but would you look around your group and would you make sure that you know each other's first names? Is that a... Okay, there you go. Why don't you just start pointing at people? Why don't you go around and do that? Okay, now that we've done that, and that should not have taken very long, and it did not, listen very carefully. You need to look around. To make this morning happen efficiently, you need to now look around your group, and what you need to do is point out somebody in your group who would be responsible for serving your group the elements. That means this, listen. That means we've got a limited amount of trays, and that means as a group gets finished, you would be kind of standing around trying to get your hand on a tray to bring it to your group and then hand it off to another group. But you're the one that gets up and does the transit, okay? You're the one who's responsible for getting it to the group and then passing it to another group if they would need that. But you're the one that's going to have to stand up and make that happen. So would you look at each other right now and pick out that person? Okay, if everybody would look up here, I'd appreciate it. In verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, it talks more about Jesus. Very quickly, let me show you this. I'm not sure if you think about this, but it says that he's the founder and perfecter of our faith. I find myself at times praying like that. Take that for what it's worth. It says this, that he endured the cross, that he despised the shame. If you look a little bit further into Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, you see it tells me to consider him. Listen to me. You know what consider is? Let me expose my mind to you right now, okay? Look at me. I'll show you what it looks like. It looks like a thrasher doing wheat on the field. Watch. You see this? Nobody make a comment. But you know what this is? I'm looking at you. Nobody make a comment, okay? Mulling it over. Consider. Mulling it over. Mulling it over. Going back to it. Thinking about it again. There you go. That's the word consider. To continue to turn over and turn over and turn over and look at it from every angle. In fact, earlier in Hebrews it says this, that we fix our eyes and we look only to him. Well, why is that? Well, you look out there, that's why. Okay? The reason I look to him is because of what's out there. That's the reason. I need to keep a focus on Jesus to do out there the right way. And you know what? One of the best situations to do this, mulling over and thinking about it, is to have communion together and do it with the right focus. This service that we do with a little bit of bread and a cup of juice is to very graphically remind us that the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, came here. I know he lived a life and was sinless. Wow, that's tremendous. But he actually died here willingly. That's blowaway concept that he would do that. And let me make it even worse or point it even further. He did it for you. Forget about everybody else. He did that for you out of an intense love that I will never understand and can never explain. He did that for you because he desires relationship in his presence for the rest of eternity. And he made it happen all on his hands. So with that said this morning, there's a song that we're going to sing. And it is Jesus Messiah. And a lot of times we just sing, and I got to say this, a lot of times just singing with, and do the words and maybe the melody and whatever. And don't do that this time, okay? I would invite you to sing this, but actually sing these words and think about them as you're singing them, as it helps you to focus on Jesus Christ, our Messiah.
Who knew no sin?
Remember, but Paul was correcting some incredible errors amongst the church when he re-instructed them about the communion service. You need to go back and read that. Makes a big deal about the fact we don't take this lightly. We don't just flippantly tag it onto the end of a service somewhere. This onto itself is a phenomenal remembrance of Jesus Christ, and we don't muck with that. We treat it as sacred as it really is. And that's why he said, before you come to this table, you should examine yourself. And I give you this warning. If you walked in here and you know you're in sin or you know you're doing things that are counter to Jesus Christ, then just have the courage to let the elements pass you by. Or in the next few minutes, do business with that sin and confess it and say, Lord, this is a new start for me, and take communion. But Paul, in instructing and re-instructing the Corinthian church, says this, For I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when He was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I'm going to take the two trays of bread. I'm going to save somebody a walk by passing them out right away here. Okay? If you've been designated as the runner, I would ask you to please be mindful of where the tray is and come grab it for your group and then pass it on to another. The last person that does that, please make sure the tray gets back up to the front. And I would ask you at this time to be considering Jesus Christ while the elements are being served. Think about Him. If you need to pray, do that as well. And prepare yourself for this very unique thing we do, and that is to eat this wafer in memory of the broken body of Jesus. Let's meditate together. Say this, in memory of the death of Jesus Christ, in memory of Jesus Christ, whom I seek to live for, seek to look like, think like, act like, in memory of Jesus Christ, who came and died for me, which not a one of us can explain, I invite you now to partake of this element, this wafer, in memory of Him. Let's eat together. In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and he said this, "This cup is the new covenant, new agreement in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I'm going to take the two trays of juice, a graphic, when you think about it, a graphic picture of the death and, hold it, the blood of Jesus Christ, which paid for your sin. Be thinking about that as we sing together.
Again.
You know, if I was going to speak from my heart this morning, really and truly, and if I could take account somehow, I think I've had hundreds and hundreds of communion times. Maybe thousands that I've taken part in. And the truth of the matter is, maybe it's just me, but it's still overwhelming when I think about the fact that Jesus shed His blood for me. It takes me back to the same place of going, man, I just don't deserve this. How can I thank You? That's what this blood is all about. The blood of Jesus Christ shed for your sin. It still overwhelms me. And with that as a thought, let's drink together in memory of His shedding this blood. It was always meant to be an awesome thing. From a group of people that He called out from the whole world, called His children.